Good morning. It's good to see everyone, and it's good to be able to come together to worship the Lord this morning. We appreciate the presence of everyone, and has already been mentioned, we appreciate our visitors, and we're glad that you're with us, and we hope that you'll come back as you have an opportunity. I know sometimes in our Bible study, some of the shorter books of the Bible may get passed over from time to time, books such as Philemon or 2nd or 3rd John. And if you'll turn in your New Testaments this morning to 3 John, we actually want to look at that little book this morning and see the large lessons that are in that little book. There are great lessons there with regard to our example. And in our scripture reading, Paul tells young Timothy to be an example to the believers. What example are we setting in the local church? Does our example come from the Word of God? Are we setting the right example? We're going to see three examples this morning from this congregation that John addresses. In 3 John, we find in verse 1, "The elder unto Gaius, the beloved, whom I love in truth." We're going to see this morning that this is an epistle written to an individual from the pen of John toward the end of the first century, around A.D. 90. It's a private letter to a member, giving us a glimpse into the life of this local church. There are members in this local church that are setting either a positive or a negative example, and we can learn from them. In this epistle, we find that there are three men that we want to focus on, hence the lesson, three men of 3 John. Gaius is mentioned. It's a common name. We're going to be reading about him in the first 8 verses or so. There are other men by that name in the New Testament. Diotrephes, mentioned only in this book. And then Demetrius, mentioned in verse 12. If he is not the Demetrius of Acts 19, then he would be mentioned only here in the New Testament. We're going to find three different examples. We're going to find three different lives. We're going to find three different attitudes toward the Word of God, and hopefully we can learn from those individuals this morning. The local church is made up of good and bad members, and we would hope that that would not be the case here, but maybe we've been associated with local churches in the past where part of the membership is acting right and part of the membership is not, and that's what we have here. And we simply have to recognize the reality of that and the truth of that and learn from that and not be influenced by any negativity that may be in the local church. We're going to be talking about Diotrephes. He was a member of the church. Something had to be done with that. Some attitude had to be taken toward that. You just can't simply pull up and start meeting somewhere else. He's going to be a member, and he's going to be there, and he's going to exhibit certain attitudes. And so, in a local church, you're going to have that. And what lessons can we learn from that today? Well, the first thing that I'd like for us to do this morning is simply read the 14 verses of this short book. As I said earlier, a lot of times the shorter books are overlooked in our study, and so hopefully just by reading, we can refresh our memory as to what this small epistle says and then learn some lessons from it. 3 John verse 1, "The elder unto Gaius, the beloved, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that in all things thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and bare witness unto thy truth, even as thou walkest in the truth. Greater joy have I none than this, than to hear my children walking in truth. Beloved, thou doest a faithful work, and whatsoever thou doest toward them that are brethren and strangers withal, who bear witness to thy love before the church, whom thou wilt do well to set forward on their journey worthily of God, because that for the sake of the name they went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to welcome such, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. I wrote somewhat unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Therefore, if I come, I will bring to remembrance his works, which he doeth prating against us with wicked words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and them that would he forbiddeth, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, imitate not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God. He that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath the witness of all men, and of the truth itself. Yea, we also bear witness, and thou knowest that our witness is true. I have many things to write unto thee, but I am unwilling to write them to thee with ink and pen. But I hope shortly to see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be unto thee. The friends salute thee. Salute the friends by name. And so we have a letter written to Gaius, a member of this unnamed congregation. We don't know the location of it, but we know that there is a church where Paul is trying to pull out members and talk about them. And three come out in this letter. The first one that we want to talk about this morning is Gaius, and I would describe him as the man who would prosper. Taken from verse 2, that you may prosper and be in health even as thy soul prospers. The first thing that we want to notice simply is that John prayed that Gaius would prosper both physically and spiritually. And the question that I raised this morning is, does your spiritual health match your physical health, or vice versa? We need to pray for those physically. There were announcements mentioned earlier, Dave's relatives and others who need our prayers, who need healing physically, and that is important. We need to pray for that. But I'd like for us to think this morning about prospering spiritually. How's our spiritual health this morning? Do we pray for the spiritual health of individuals? A person can have a great healthy body and be sick spiritually. You remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 where Paul talks about that they were not discerning the body and the blood, and he said, many among you are sickly. Well, what was he talking about? Had a head cold? Had a stomachache? No, he's talking about spiritual sickness, because they weren't taking the Lord's Supper right. And so it's important to prosper. It's important to prosper materially. It's important to prosper physically. But even more importantly than all of that is to prosper spiritually in a right relationship with God. I think about Joshua chapter 1 when, turn back with me there, when God gives Joshua the encouragement to lead the children into the land of Canaan. He talks about prosperity, but what kind? In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate thereon day and night, and thou shalt observe to do all that is written therein. For in therein you shall have good success and be prosperous. Why? Because you're reading and meditating on the Word of God, and you have a right relationship with me. That needs to come first and foremost. Nothing wrong with praying about physical health. But we need to take care of our spiritual health first and foremost. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 1 and verse 3. What kind of prosperity do we need to have? Well, you know, I'm set financially. I'm retired. I've got a good home. I've got transportation, food, shelter, clothing. That's all great. But what about our soul? What about our soul? Jesus said, if you gain the whole world and lose your soul, what does it profit? And so we need to be thinking about spiritual prosperity. John said to Gaius, I'm praying that you may prosper and be in health even as thy soul prospereth. How's your soul prospering this morning? How's your soul health, as it were? In Psalm 1:3, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the wicked, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of Jehovah, and on his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the streams of water, that bringeth forth fruit in its season, whose leaf also doth not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Why? Because he has a right relationship with God. Have you been thinking about that kind of prosperity lately? In the economic situations that we have in our country, we're thinking about jobs and loss of jobs and getting jobs and how am I going to take care of my family and money for this and paying the bills, and all of that's fine, all of that's necessary. But have we stepped back to take a look at our soul's prosperity lately? How are we prospering in our soul? It's going to be based upon our relationship with God and His Word. That's what John was concerned about, not just physical health, but spiritual health. And we need that same concern this morning. Come with me to verses 3 and 4. John not only prays, but he rejoices. And he was happy. What was he happy about? Well, in verse 3, I rejoice greatly when I came and bear witness unto thy truth, even as you walk in truth. What makes you happy? What makes us happy? Is it physical things again? Or is it that we're walking in truth? I'm really happy that my children are doing this in school. That's great. But are my children walking in truth? We get happy about physical things. We get happy about education. We get happy about things of this world. And there's nothing wrong in and of itself. But true joy is that we're right with God. What made John happy was not physical things and material things, but that he had heard that Gaius was walking in truth. Again, it gets back to the priority of spiritual things. And we need to be walking in truth. John mentions this in 2 John. Look at verse 2, what made him happy. For the truth, John writes, unto the lady whom I love in truth, and not I only, but also they that know the truth, for the truth's sake, which abideth in us, and it shall be in us forever. And then verse 4, I rejoice greatly that I have found certain of thy children walking in truth. What makes us happy? That we're right with God, walking in the truth. That's where true joy is found. John also commended Gaius for his hospitality and support of truthful teachers. Let's look again at verses 5 through 8. Gaius, because he was spiritually minded, and that part of his life was just as important as his physical health, and more important, and that he was walking in truth, when it came time for people to come along, other Christians, and these are the people, verse 7, for the sake of the name, that's the name of Jesus. We're talking about Christians that are coming along, preaching the gospel. What does he do with them? He serves them. Our life is not about selfishness. Our life is not about, well, me and my family and my kids and me this and my that. What about the brethren? We've got to be looking outward in addition to the things that we need to take care of in our own family. Are we serving others? Are we taking care of others? Are we supporting others? And so in verse 5, He was doing a faithful work toward them that are brethren and strangers withal, and particularly, verse 6, as they went on their journey, preaching the gospel for the name of Christ, he would get them, and he would help them and set them forth. In other words, when they came through town, he would support them and help them and take care of them and send them on their way. That's service. That's not selfishness. That's hospitality. That's care. That's concern for others. And so the importance of looking outward. Look at what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25. Our soul's salvation, our soul's destiny depends on this. It's not just a matter of opinion. It's not just a private think so. Our soul's destiny depends upon reaching out and caring for others. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus says that in the judgment day, one of the criteria is going to be this very thing. Look at verse 34. The king shall come and say, blessed, inherit the kingdom prepared for you, for I was hungry and you gave me to eat, I was hungry and you gave me to drink, I was a stranger and you took me in, naked and you clothed me, I was sick and you visited me, I was in prison and you came unto thee. And when the people ask him, well, when did we see this happening to you? Verse 40, insomuch as you did it unto one of these my brethren, the least you did it unto me. Sometimes we get wrapped up in our own affairs. Well, I've got this going on today, and I've got to take care of that. I've got to run here, I've got to run there. I've got to take care of this, I've got to take care of that. What about those outside of us and the needs of those? We have to be mindful of that as well. We have to take care of our own affairs, certainly. But we have to be mindful of those others as well. And Gaius was, and he was commended for that. In Romans chapter 12, in fact, turns me to Romans 12, if we're not careful, we will be so consumed with our own family and our own affairs that we just physically won't have time in the day to take care of others who may need that, passing through or not. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 13, communicating to the necessities of the saints given to hospitality. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 6, Paul talks about communicating to those who teach us. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2, one of the qualifications of a man one day seeking to be an elder is that he's given to hospitality. That means that early in our life, we're going to have to be opening up our home. We're going to have to be caring for others. We're going to have to be serving others. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 10, one of the conditions for a widow that is to be enrolled and helped permanently by the church, early in her life, she had to wash the saints' feet. In other words, she had to be a sacrificial servant to others. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 2, forget not to entertain strangers. 1 Peter 4, 9, give into hospitality. And do that without murmuring. 1 Peter 4 and 9. And so, the idea of service and serving others and looking out and taking care of others. Back to 3 John now, Gaius was an example of someone who was watching his soul just as much as he was watching his body. It's great to watch our cholesterol and our fat intake and our sugar intake and diabetes and blood pressure and all those kinds of things. It's great. But what about our soul? What about the souls of our children? What about our spiritual relationship? Gaius was going to focus on that. Gaius walked in truth. That's what makes the Lord happy. And Gaius turned outward and served others. And so verse 8, we therefore ought to welcome such that we may be fellow workers for the truth. When Gaius took these individuals in and was hospitable to them, he became a fellow worker with them. But whether it's a gospel preacher or, which is most likely the case here, someone traveling and preaching, or our brethren communicating to the necessities of the saints, Romans 12, 13, we need to be looking outward and serving and caring. That's what Gaius was. You have done a faithful work in whatsoever you do toward them that are brethren and the strangers withal. It's a faithful work, and we need to remember that in our busy lives and when we're taking care of our own things. It's a faithful work that must be done. Let's turn now to another member of this church in a very different way, in a very different example. Not a bright example, but a dark example. Not a good example, but an evil example. Let's turn now and look at the matter of Diotrephes, and let's look at four qualities of his life. As you go back down through the verses again, you find four things that come out with regard to this individual. First of all, he was a self-promoter. I wrote somewhat unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. The word preeminence there means first place. And you know that it's used only one other time in the New Testament. Look at Colossians 1:18. One other time in the New Testament. And it's Jesus. He's the one that's supposed to have the first place. But Diotrephes said, no, I'm going to do that, and I'm going to put myself in that place. God didn't do it. That's why I put self-promoter. God didn't promote him to this position. He did it himself. He took it upon himself. Either through pride or arrogance or boasting or whatever other bad attitude he had, he was going to put himself first. I'm going to run this place. Not Jesus. Jesus is supposed to be the head of the church, Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, and we've been studying that in our class. But no, Jesus is not going to be the head. I am. I'm going to say what goes here. I'm going to be first. Jesus said, look at Matthew chapter 20 and verse 27, that is not a place to be given. You remember James and John, their mother came and they wanted she wanted them to have the first place in the kingdom, a place above the others. In Matthew chapter 20 and verse 27, and whosoever would be first among you shall be your servant. There is no first place in the kingdom. There is no preeminence where I rise above the rest of the church. And I'm going to self-promote my way to the top. Turn with me to Mark chapter 9 and verse 35. The disciples had a little bit of that attitude among them that Jesus had to correct. They were walking along one time, and they were discussing among themselves who was first among them. Okay, now there's 12 of us, and some of us are first. So let's get that thing worked out. Jesus said, no, you have it all wrong. In Mark chapter 9 and verse 35. Verse 33, and when they came to Capernaum, when he was in the house, He asked them, "Why were you reasoning on the way?" Mark 9:34. But they held their peace. Oh, got caught by the Lord. For they had disputed one with another on the way who was the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12 and said unto them, "If any man would be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all." There is no first place in the kingdom like you gentlemen want. The geography said, "No, there is, and I'm going to be that man." He was a self-promoter, the same in Mark 10:44. The second quality, negative, evil quality about this man is that he was insubordinate. Wait, think about it. If I'm first, I don't have to listen to anybody. Insubordinate means sub, under, submarine, under the water. In sub means I'm not going to be under, I'm going to be over. I'm not going to be under anybody. I'm not going to be under the apostles, namely. The apostles who are guided into all the truth, who have been authorized by the Lord to go into all the world and preach the gospel, who have authority from the Lord to forgive and retain sins, John 20 and other passages. They're sitting on 12 thrones, Matthew 19:20. These are men that have authority from Christ to rule in the church, but I'm not going to be under them. Look at verse 9. Who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. The us there is John and the apostles. He's not going to listen to apostolic authority. He's insubordinate. It reminds me of Luke 7:30, where it says that the Pharisees would not listen to the teaching and preaching of John the Baptist. And so they would not bring themselves under that teaching and obey the Lord. But the Pharisees and the lawyers reject for themselves the counsel of God, being not baptized of Him. I don't have to listen to John. I don't have to listen to what John says. Insubordinate. The third quality of this individual, Diotrephes, was that he was slanderous. You'd think that the first one would be bad enough. Now, he's slanderous. Look at verse 10. "Therefore, if I come, I will bring to remembrance his works which he doeth, prating against us with wicked words." That word is used only one other time in the New Testament. Let's see where it's used. Turn with me to 1 Timothy 5:13. The word means literally silly talk, nonsense. I'm using the American Standard. It uses prating. It's nonsense, silly. That which is not according to truth, that which is not helpful, that which does not teach the truth in the local congregation. It could be in the form of backbiting, gossip, lying. It could be a number of different things. But it's nonsense. It's not fitting of the truth. 1 Timothy 5:13, with regard to the widow. "And withal they learn also to be idle, going about from house to house, and not only idle, but also tattlers." That's that same word used in 3 John 10. Tattlers. Just nonsense. That which ends up causing strife and division in the local church, tearing someone down. Tattlers and busybodies speaking things which they ought not. So, Diotrephes was going to, number one, I'm going to be number one in this church. Number two, I'm not going to be under anybody. I'm not going to be under the teaching of the apostles. I'm not going to receive them. Receive in these letters means to hear their words and obey it. I'm not going to receive the apostles. And number three, I'm going to speak things to tear them down and others down. And then last of all, I'm going to be vindictive. I'm going to cause division in the church. Look at verse 10. "Prating," speaking nonsense, "against us with wicked words, and not content therewith." When someone is not living right, they're not content with one problem. They've got to have several problems. Not content. You think he would be content with being a self-promoter. You think he would be content with being a self-promoter and insubordinate. You think he would be content with being, "No, I'm not content with any of that. I've got to keep going." Until we just ruin this whole church. And that's of course, what the devil wants. "Not content therewith, but neither doth he himself receive the brethren," and them that would, if there's somebody else in the church that would fellowship the brethren, "and them that would, he forbiddeth and casteth them out of the church." So there's brethren in the church I'm not going to fellowship with, And others that want to fellowship with them, I'm going to cast them out of the church. Divisive, vindictive, troublemaker. You don't follow this example. You see, in the church there can be a Gaius, and sitting right next to him taking the Lord's Supper can be a Diotrephes. That's just the sad truth of it. And so the point, brethren, is that we follow these good examples and we stay away from that other. And that's the very next verse that I'd like for us to talk about. Imitate not that which is evil. What evil? Just some generic evil? No, what has he been talking about? Diotrephes. Stay away from that. But that which is good, Gaius and Demetrius, that we're going to talk about. He that doeth good is of God. He that doeth evil has not seen God. The word see there, nobody has seen God physically with the naked eye. He's a spirit. See God, in 1 John especially, means to have fellowship, to walk with God, to be in fellowship with God, to do His truth. So when we're acting like Diotrephes, we do not see God. We do not have fellowship with God. He does not approve of us. So we've got to follow that good example. We've got to ignore that evil example, in or out of the local church. Now let's look at Demetrius. This book closes on a positive note. If this is not the Demetrius of Acts 19, we don't know. There was a Demetrius the silversmith in Acts 19. We don't know if this is the same one. It would be nice to know if he were converted. That would be great. But if this is another one, this is the only information we have about him. But in this one small verse, there's a lot said about this man. First of all, Demetrius hath the witness of all men. Secondly, and of the truth. And third, we also bear witness, and thou knowest that our witness is true. This man was acting so well in the church and in the community that he had a good report from people around him, brethren and others. The truth itself said that he was living right, and then the apostles could testify to that as well. Wouldn't that be a great way to live? You're getting a good report from the rest of the church. You're getting a good report when the Bible opens up. And what that means is, look at verse 12, and of the truth itself bears witness. That means that when you open up the truth, what it says matches your life and vice versa. And then third, the apostles are bearing witness to the truth. This man was saying and doing only that which is good. And again, he's sitting right next to Diotrephes, and he's not going to buy into that. He's not going to buy into that vindictive, insubordinate, slanderous, self-promoting spirit. He's not going to buy into that. He's going to continue walking in the truth. And sometimes we have to do that. Gaius is the man who would prosper. Diotrephes is the man who would be a self-promoter and preeminent. And Demetrius is the man who would be a pattern for all of us. The word witness there is that people can testify to his good behavior, and he's an example to all. Before as we close this morning, I want us to think about the local church. Who do you best identify with? Who do I best identify with? And that's the point of today's lesson. There are churches today that are split because of Diotrephes. Somebody is identifying with him. There are brethren today who are hospitable and walking in truth. They're identifying with Gaius. There are brethren today like Demetrius that have a good report from all. Who do we identify with? The choice is ours this morning to match our lives up with good or with evil. Members of a local church are often different. In verse 9, I wrote somewhat unto the church. John is writing to Gaius, an individual in this church. But he's considering other members in the church. And so this letter deals with the life of a local church written to an individual. And in this local church, there's different attitudes. There's good and evil. Verse 11, imitate that which is good. Do not imitate that which is evil. And that's a possibility in the local church. If there is evil in a local church, will we allow that to negatively affect our service? It didn't with Gaius. It didn't with Demetrius, and it shouldn't with us. And the point that I'd like to make at this time is that sometimes we'll let somebody else dictate what we need to do. Listen, if we need to obey the gospel this morning, don't worry about somebody else. Don't worry about maybe some other negative thing that we might see in or out of the church. We just need to do what we need to do. Sometimes somebody will say, well, I'm not going to do such and such because there's hypocrites in the church. Well, that may be true, but don't let that stop you from doing what's right. Somebody could say of this church, well, there's a Diotrephes in the church. Well, yeah, exactly right. There is, literally. But that didn't stop Gaius from doing what was right. That didn't stop Demetrius from doing what is right. So don't allow some negative thing that may be going on in or out of the church to affect us in our service and in our salvation. Do what is right. Members in a local church often imitate other members. That's why John said in verse 11, beloved, imitate not that which is evil. He wouldn't have said that unless that were a possibility. Maybe you've been in local churches before where there's some evil in that church, and all of a sudden it begins to spread. The negativity begins to spread. The divisiveness begins to spread. I've seen it. I've seen that in other congregations where it starts with one or a family or a couple, and then here we go, just like leaven. I was told a real story just about a month ago about a local church. Very good friends of mine. We go back many, many years. He said, we have just split. We have just split. And it got started because one of the elders got started off on a wrong direction. He got his wife involved. He got his son-in-law involved. He got his daughter-in-law involved. All their kids were involved. It started affecting the Bible classes because the ladies teaching the Bible classes were the daughters-in-law of the sons-in-law of the daughters and the husbands and the wives. And that one family single-handedly divided that church. They had about 120, and now they have about 50. This happened a month ago. What example are we imitating? Are we going to allow that leaven? Instead of saying no to that divide, well, I want to hear what they say. And after all, I am married to this person, and I am the daughter of this person, and I'm the son of this person, and I am related to this person. So when we go home for lunch on Sunday afternoon, and all that's going on, and we're all together as family, we're gossiping and backbiting and prating, verse 10, and tearing down, we're just going to listen to all of that. Brethren, this is real. This is not just some fantasy. It is real. It happens. It happens all the time. We listen to evil. Verse 11, we start imitating that which is evil. And churches split, and the devil goes home happy. What example are we setting for others here at Memorial Boulevard? And whose example are we imitating here at Memorial Boulevard? I hope it is only good. But in some cases, in the case of this church that I will leave unnamed, there is evil, and we just start listening to it and following it and going along with it because of friends, because of family, and because of cliques, and because we gravitate toward a certain voice, and we lose sight and leave the Word of God. Why did John put in verse 11? Because he knows Diotrephes is there. And he reminds the rest of the brethren, do not imitate that. Instead of saying no to that, some just buy into it. And it's often family. It's often close relations. We've got to be very careful about that. We follow Jesus Christ first and foremost. And then last of all, members in a local church need to address the problems that come up. So John writes to Gaius, and he says that he wrote to the church, verse 9, but Diotrephes receiveth us not. John is trying to address these things. He wants to come, verse 14, and speak face to face. Do we love truth enough to address these things? Usually when sound brethren try to address these things with the truth, unfortunately, instead of brethren coming back to the truth, they just split and go somewhere else. We need to love truth. And look at the very first verse. The elder unto Gaius, the beloved, whom I love in truth. It always comes back to truth. Do we love truth more than anything else? And are we willing to address those things that need to be addressed? Are you prospering in what counts, our soul? Are you seeking preeminence over others? I hope not. Let Christ, Colossians 1:18, be the preeminent. And are we setting the good example? The lesson is yours. It's insight into a local church. It's a little glimpse. 14 short verses. Packed full of a glimpse into what is going on in the first century with much lesson for us today. We're going to stand and sing a song of encouragement. If you need to make your life right in some way, step forward and do that. Don't worry about what else is going on. Sometimes you'll see things going on that aren't right. Don't worry about that. You just get your life right. And when we think about our soul, verse 2, we need to make sure that our soul is prospering this morning. Don't worry about other material and physical things going on in our life. Make sure that our soul is right with God this morning so that when He comes, we'll be ready. All that other material will take care of itself. And let's be serving and hospitable. Let's be someone who walks in the truth. And if there is someone in the local church or somewhere else who just simply will not bring himself under the authority of God's Word, that's his business. He'll lose his soul over it. Let us not follow that pathway. Let us follow and imitate that which is good. Let us be the one whom others imitate. Let us be the one in this local congregation. Chris, I can act like him. I can speak like him. And if I'm not that imitating example, then I need to change. I need to be the brother or the sister in the church that somebody says I can talk and act like them. And if we don't want every member to talk like us and act like us, if we can't be that imitating example, then let's make that change and be the imitating example of good in the local congregation. If you're subject in any way, why don't you come as we stand and sing? I am thy Lord.
That's not where you get word in the process, but God's prayer before you do it. Heavenly Father, we again come to you in prayer. Want one again the blessing that you have given to us. Thank you, Michael, for the essential lessons that he has joined in this life to come, Michael, for our health. We need to make a living. It's all provided for us. But, Lord, we need all these things apart from you. We pray that you give our means and you do so cheerfully and in whatever place we need. Lord, to do it. Thank you.
Not you again.